reading this morning.
You are, yes.
Comes from Luke 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Thank you, Pam. Bless you. So as we have remembered what Christ has done for us, we're going to briefly, and I mean briefly, so it's a short one this morning. So it should have been this short on Christmas morning, shouldn't it? Anyway, we're going to consider the 3 points, the traditional 3 points of what it means to live after the Christmas festivities. So number one, the after of Christmas. We prepare, don't we, for Christmas for weeks and weeks. In church, we have the Advent candles. We have the planning, the services, the rehearsals, the reflection. And in our home lives, it seems to be about buying gifts, all the food, planning menus, seating arrangements, where to put the tree, where do we buy the tree from in the first place, everything. It's all a bit frantic. And it's sometimes hard, do you not think, to see and how to feel, I'll say that again, it's sometimes hard to feel and see the love and the joy and the peace of Christmas time in all those preparations and the celebrations, doesn't it? It just seems to be all the time. And then Christmas Day comes. We eat, we drink, we be merry, we share gifts with time and friends and relatives. And before we know it, it's all over. Gone in the blink of an eye, back to normality or reality. But let's just try and spend some time and put that into context. After the very first Christmas, did everything go back to normal? For Mary and Joseph, it certainly didn't. Nor for the shepherds. After meeting the infant Jesus, Luke tells us in Luke 2, verse 20, that Pam just read, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. They didn't stay at the manger. They returned back to their ordinary lives. But they and their lives were changed. Nothing went back to normal for them ever again. So here's the question for us today, which I hope is a simple one. How do we return after Christmas? Are we changed or unchanged this Christmas time? What are we going to do and how are we going to be different? Vicky and I have a bit of a tradition that whenever we have some time away, maybe a holiday or a break or some downtime, where we have a bit more time to think and reflect, we ask each other, have you made any momentous decisions? And if so, what are they? That's quite a deep question, isn't it? Yeah, but it's a good one, because that is the only time sometimes when you have that time and space to think, what am I going to do differently? What do I want to change in me? Might be taking up a hobby, it might be reading the Bible more, it might be doing this, it might be doing... But if you don't have the time and space to think about it, you just carry on as normal, running around like headless chickens, doing what we call life. So my question is, have you been prompted by the Holy Spirit in your thoughts this Christmas time? Has anything changed? And here's another deep question for you. Was Advent fulfilled? Ooh. Advent teaches us to wait with hope and peace, joy and love. Have we felt any of that this Christmas time? A couple of nods, good, I'm glad to see that. Yeah, excellent, good, praise God. Christmas tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as it says in John 1:14. But God didn't shout his love from heaven. He showed it in a child. And as I said, for those that are here on Christmas morning, I was looking forward to have some special time with our new granddaughter, Sam, sharing her very first Christmas with us here in the UK and back in Switzerland. So it's been a joy and a pleasure to have her with us. But the love that you feel for your child, your grandchild, or whatever relative, that it gives you back with their trust, is unconditional. Does that sound familiar when we talk about Jesus Christ? His love is unconditional. The bread that we broke earlier reminds us that the child, baby Jesus, came not just to be born, but to be broken for us. And it's also comforting to remember that the very first Christmas was far from perfect. No guest rooms, no birth plan, no antenatal classes, no calm schedule. And yet, God was fully present throughout it all. So, if your Christmas wasn't perfect, please take heart. God still came. My second point is, what can we learn from the Christmas witnesses? Let's think about Mary. She pondered. We just heard in Luke 2, verse 19, that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Faith grows when we take time and reflect. We also heard in verse 17 of that passage, the shepherds, they witnessed, they spread the word. They carried Christmas back into their daily lives. That's why everything changed for them. They didn't say, oh, that's a nice baby, carry on. They took that with them forever. And then the third one is, Simeon and Anna, they recognized God. But who were Simeon and Anna? Anybody want to offer? No? Well, if we'd have carried on reading the next few verses of the chapter 2 that we've just heard, we'd find out that they were devout elderly figures in the Jerusalem temple. See, every day is a school day. According to Luke's gospel, they recognized the infant Jesus as the promised Messiah during his presentation to the temple when he's going to be circumcised. And they offered prayers and prophecies about him as the redemption of Israel. They served as a significant witness to his coming. Simeon was a righteous man who was promised by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before seeing the Christ. While Anna was a prophetess and long widowed woman who served God with fasting and prayer, telling everyone about Jesus. They saw salvation where others saw a child. And then the final part, living after Christmas. The communion table reminds us that if Jesus is Emmanuel, then God is with us even after when we've taken the Christmas decorations down. Matthew 28 verse 20 says, I am with you always. Remembering that the manger leads to the cross. The cross leads to the empty tomb. And communion sends us out to live changed lives. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Can you imagine if you opened a Christmas present on Christmas morning and somebody said, what was it? And you go, well, it's big and it's green and it's got wheels. You can't describe it. You can't describe the gift that Jesus is, really, can we? We know he was a baby, we know he was a Messiah, we know he died for us. But try and describe that in a single sentence. So in the shortest summary ever for a sermon, yes, t'was, or should be in proper English, tis, the Sunday after Christmas. And yes, we can see that the story is still unfolding. The story which is so familiar to us all. But can we believe that the promise is for us all? Have we changed at all this Christmas? Are we prepared and willing to go and live it? Communion, as I just said, sends us out to live changed lives. So it's not just Christmas time. It's every time we have communion. And it'd be great to have communion every week, because every week we'd have to go out and change lives. But even if we don't have communion every week, we should still go out and change lives. Amen. Communion's not an excuse not to do it. It just reminds us that's what we ought to be doing. That's what we're asked to do. But let's do a little bit more reflecting. What are we pondering with God? And how are our ponderings affecting our relationship with God? Ponderings is a great word, isn't it? I should have looked up what the dictionary definition of it was. Ponderings. How, what, and where are we, all of us, each and every one of us, children included, you're not exempt from this, sorry. How are we going to witness to others that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? They need it. This country, this world needs to know about Jesus. What is God asking you to do to serve him as part of that process? Do you believe that the birth of Christ, his death on the cross, and his resurrection means that he is with us always? Through the power of the Holy Spirit and with Christ for all of these things, we can and we will do them. If you are in any doubt, maybe you're still in a quandary, maybe you have more questions than answers, then please can I encourage you to seek clarification through prayer. Maybe with someone you trust or one of the prayer ministry team here. But don't let Christmas time be a time where it's great and then you go back to normality. Why not let Christmas make a change in your life today? Mark talked earlier about New Year's resolutions. I made a New Year's resolution many years ago was not to make New Year's resolutions because I always break them. But when we're talking about serving God, doing what he wants us to do, we can't ignore that call, can we? But we might need strength. We might need, I'm off peace now. We might need strength, we might need courage, we might need conviction. Talk to somebody you trust. Pray with somebody you trust. Give time to reflect upon it. Because the time is getting shorter. Christ is coming again. Are we ready for him? Amen.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, and I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, and I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, cause I know you. What we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect in all your ways. You are perfect in all of your way. You are perfect in all of your way. You are perfect in all of your ways. To You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To love so undeniable. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love. Love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have a new year coming, and you're going to prepare us for that new, Lord. We pray that you draw alongside us and strengthen us, Lord. We pray that you talk to our hearts through reading the Bible and prayer, Lord. And we pray that